Views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of 55KRC, The Talk Station, and iHeartRadio station.
Welcome and thank you for joining us again for Inspired Conversations. We are live on 55KRC, The Talk Station. This week I'd like to discuss success, and in particular how you can come away from this week's conversation with three easy-to-follow tips for your own success. I'm Karen. I'm a counselor, life coach, and chaplain, and I'm happy you're joining me this week. If you'd like to contact me, it's winfieldhouse.info. And if you'd like to be part of our conversation, the phone lines are open at 513-749-5500. Usually at this time I introduce Dave, but he has abandoned ship and is happily basking in the Florida sun this week with his family, so he'll be back with us next time. But I do have a special guest with me this week, and she's an expert on success. And she's the first person who popped into my mind when I decided to have a show on success. So let me tell you just a bit about her. Her name is Kay Fittis, and she has presented over 2,500 keynotes and seminars, guiding over 100,000 women to achieve success. She has written for Advance Edge Magazine, The Business Courier, Cincinnati Chic Magazine, Society of Home-Based Business Owners, and many other publications. She holds a training certification in leadership, has won many speaking contests, and holds Toastmasters International Designation Advanced and Gold Competent Leader. And if that's not enough, Kay is the author of How to Raise Your Self-Esteem, A Self-Enhanced System for Women, Your Guide to Life-Changing Presentations, Go Ahead and Laugh, A Serious Guide to Speaking with Humor, a CD titled Panic to Power, Swift and Simple Speaking Strategies. And I'm also holding her book, Achieving High-Heeled Success, Stepping Over the Obstacles. So thank you for being here, and welcome, Kay.
Thank you so much, Karen. I am thrilled to be here. It is always exciting to talk about the topic of success and specifically tools to enable someone to become more successful.
I agree, and I really looked forward to you being here on the show, and not only have I benefited from all of your programs and your book, but I'm sure everyone will as well today. So over the last couple years, I have taken some of your day seminars.
Yes.
And, of course, read your book several times. And I came away with incredible insights. And I'd like to just name two and then have you speak to those if you don't mind.
I'll be delighted.
All right. So the first thing that hit me in your book, and your book, by the way, for anyone who might be interested, is a very easy-to-read book. It's got maybe one page of a tip, and on the other side of the page is how you can use that in your own life. So
that's
questions.
Right. So that's right.
It's not a 400-page book that's going to put you to sleep.
So, that's good news.
Right. So anyway, page 36, it says, learn to take credit and compliments with grace. And that hit me so hard because I was a master of blowing off compliments and really undervaluing my own effort with statements like, oh, it was no big deal, when it really was a big deal.
Yes.
And so you taught me to say, thank you for noticing that. That was really hard work. And so that was one thing that I took away from the book. And the second thing was really tremendous for me. At one of your workshops, it was a speaking workshop, you gave each of us a piece of paper, mm-hmm. and it just said, I have. And then we would fill in the blank. So at the end of the workshop, we were all in a circle. We were about to close the day. And you said, for several of us, to just read our papers that said, I have. And so several gals did. And for some reason, I happened to be the last one. And I said, I have something to say.
That was profound.
And everyone in the circle, they took a breath.
Yes.
Because it really resonated with them, and because we all have something to say, and you gave us a voice.
Well, thank you. That is one of my goals consistently when I do workshops, is to make sure that people do have a sense that they have a voice. You know, talking about the first takeaway that you had in one of the workshops, Karen, I think about the critical success tool of taking credit and compliments and accolades with grace. Mm-hmm. That's not an easy thing to do. People tend to fall into two camps, like you were, being a self-deflector, saying things like, oh, it was no big deal, just doing my job. Or here's one that leaders say a lot, it was all the team. Or they flip to the other end of the spectrum and they become a rather obnoxious blowhard. You probably know a few people like that. And I have found that when someone learns to use a template for taking a compliment, they can learn to do it with graciousness and grace and credibility building. Let me give you this template because it may feel a little awkward in the very beginning, but with a little bit of practice, people do great. Three parts. The challenge, why would somebody compliment you in the first place? The skill, what did you bring to the plate, and what was the result? I can tell you about a client of mine. We're going to call her Carrie, just to be on the safe side here. Carrie's a PR person. She called one day, and she was really upset. She said, I just muffed an opportunity to build my credibility with one of my clients. She had gotten her client, Fred, a position in several local media outlets in an incredibly short turnaround time. He called to say thanks, and guess what she said?
I'm afraid to ask.
It was no big deal, Fred. She said, the second I said it, I knew I had missed an opportunity. So we practiced, and the next time she was prepared to say this, something like this at least. The two-week time frame was challenging, but with 15 years of PR experience, I knew exactly who to contact and get you media coverage that boosted your business. This works, but it does take practice.
Yeah. So what are those 3 points again?
First, the challenge. Why was it a big deal in the first place?
Right.
The skill. What was it about you that was unique or special that made it happen? And then to reiterate the results that transpired as a result of your thumbprint.
Yeah, and I think even saying in the beginning when I would answer, wow, thanks for noticing. But I'd want to say those things, but I didn't have the template.
Yes.
So that's terrific. That's really terrific.
It may not feel initially natural, but anybody can do this.
Yes.
It really is really simple.
All right. Well, we are going to have to take a break, and thank you for joining us this segment. We'll be back. And what I'd like to do in our next segment is talk about your three key points that you were going to give us.
Sure.
And the first one being, what was our first?
We're going to talk about voice, a little bit about voice.
And uniqueness.
And uniqueness. Voice and uniqueness. That's correct.
All right. Well, we will be right back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations, and this is Karen at 55 KRC. Back, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about success with Kay Fittis, a local coach. And Kay, we just talked a little bit about a couple of your workshops and and having a voice. And I wanted to talk about this segment about uniqueness. You talked about that in your book. And I just finished a book written by Malcolm Gladwell titled The Outliers. And the book is centered around people who are not really mainstream, but really extraordinary. And he came up with some great statistics about people who really are successful. And he cites different career venues, such as athletes or scholars or even car salesmen, and comes to a conclusion about those we do consider extraordinary. And so he says that timing is very important, and obviously opportunity, mm-hmm. Knowledge and talent. But you have another really important quality about individual uniqueness. And that really piqued my interest because I really don't know where you will go with this and how we find what is unique about ourselves.
We know it is interesting. One of the things that probably works against most people is the belief that they are incredibly ordinary. Mm. Oh, maybe every once in a while there's somebody that knows they have something really special and unique. But the reality is everyone does. Everyone does. But it's not until you identify those particular life experiences, your unique education, your what I call your stance. What do you stand for? Mm. What would you walk across the tightrope for? That once you figure that out, you really have the ability to take that and morph that into success. Let me tell you about a personal experience. Sure. I had, Karen, long time ago when I was thinking about starting my own business. I was struggling because I questioned, why me? I had similar education. I had a similar background of many people that were in my field. And I went off to a conference in Dallas. And I was fortunate enough to be sitting in an audience when Dr. Paula Hill from Southern Methodist University spoke. And here is what Dr. Hill said. What you do may be done by hundreds or even thousands. What you know may be known by many others, but no one can express what needs to be done or known with your unique perspective, personality, and spirit. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a powerful thought?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Right there in that chair, in that auditorium, I just nodded my head up and down, saying yes to myself. I came back to Cincinnati and started my business.
Wow. And so you can help others to find those pieces in their life that
certainly
would make them. Because I hear from women in counseling that say, well, there's nothing special about me, and just what you were feeling. And so the system that you might have would help them to determine what those pieces are.
That's
so that
right.
They would find their niche.
Absolutely. Yes. One of the exercises I take individuals through is a life history. Now, I know that sounds like a scary proposition, but a turning point, a milestone yearly or maybe every 5 years from as early as you can remember. And what emerges from that exercise is usually someone is stopped in their own tracks looking at the uniqueness of their own life. Mm-hmm. And then how can you take that uniqueness and really put the magic sauce on it to be more successful, find that unique field or unique job that is the perfect match.
Yeah. So you know what? You're giving them permission to matter.
That, I love that.
Yeah.
Permission to matter.
Yeah.
That is powerful.
Because so many people feel that they don't. And, you know, there was a quote. I'm kind of a quote guru.
Oh, me too. You could just tell, couldn't you?
So this one, I want you to guess, and I know you won't, but this is a quote, and it says, "The only battle I fight is being insignificant."
Ooh.
And this quote is from Chief Sitting Bull. So who?
Fascinating.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I would have never guessed that one.
So I think that even in any culture or any time, people want to matter.
Yes, they do.
And they want their life to be significant. And so what you bring to the table is not only did you give them a voice, but now you can really collate the life experience into a unique personality that can be employed or even use this at home, just your own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's fascinating. People do not see because they are too close.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, well, I'm sure you've experienced this as a counselor, to be objective, to be that that outlier. You talked about the book, The Outliers, to be that objective set of eyes to see what other people cannot see in themselves
and
that's unique.
Even so, what I think can be unique, people try to hide the trouble that they've had in their lives.
Oh, big mistake.
Yeah, and even those can be great stepping stones to your own uniqueness. They can be real strength builders when we just get truthful with ourselves.
Well, that's true. You know, that probably has been one of my greatest assets in being a public speaker and a trainer and a coach, and that is I'm willing to be vulnerable and develop rapport with the people that I'm speaking to or working with, and they know that I've got lots of warts myself, plenty of flaws, and that gives people permission.
It does. You know, can I say one funny thing from your book about that, about you?
Oh, I bet I know what you're going to say.
No, you don't. But it was when you were in high school in Paducah, Kentucky.
Yes.
And you were in a speech class. And you had to get up and give the speech. And this is an award-winning speaker I'm sitting with. But at the time, they had to call your mother because you fainted.
Yes, I did. Colder than a fish right there on the floor. Yeah, and when we do presentation coaching and presentation workshops, I often lead with that.
Yeah.
And people just are aghast.
Yeah.
They say, oh, my goodness, all the people you have spoken to at this point.
Yeah.
So I have the ability to say to them, have you passed out? And they will say no. And I say, see, you're starting even more down the road, even more effectively than I did.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, one thing, and again, I know a lot of women, well, two things here. A lot of women who say they are not extraordinary, they're common, and they can't find these. So I would recommend seeing you for this. And one little page in your book says, focus on friendliness. I love that. Because if nothing else, you can be the friendly one in the bunch.
That's exactly right.
And that will actually lead to other things.
You know, it is interesting. There is a wonderful quote about that, and I won't get it exactly right, but it is that people don't care what you say, what you do. They care about how you make them feel. And I get that feedback periodically from people who say, I feel so good when I come away from you.
Yeah.
And I believe that that is run by the fact that there have been people in my life that have made me feel extraordinary when I just felt like pigeon poop. And it's important to give that back.
Right. Yeah. Especially if you haven't, if they haven't taken your course yet, and they don't know this from your 5-year-old up uniqueness, at least start to be friendly.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So the other thing I was, when we were talking about this success, I wonder if you work exclusively with women or do you work with men as well?
Now, let's put it this way. I currently have one male individual coaching client, but I do speak to mixed audiences.
Okay.
Because the topic we're talking about today, success, and the tools we're talking about today are applicable for anyone. They're certainly not unique to women, but I will say that some of the struggles that we're discussing today, women have gotten a heavier dose of them. And because of that, the majority of my work is done with women.
Okay.
But a few good guys along the way.
Oh, good. Good. So they can call you.
Certainly.
Yeah. Great. And there was something on your website I read, and speaking about women, women's unique, we're talking about your uniqueness, but you also list women's unique vulnerabilities.
Yes.
And so we have about a minute. Is there anything that you can maybe merge that into uniqueness to help them to get over themselves, if you will?
Getting over themselves. That's a tough one, particularly because so often an individual will walk into the room. You've probably been there. two people are speaking and maybe they stop. So often that woman is thinking, oh, I bet they were talking about
right,
me.
Right.
The reality is people think about us for a nanosecond.
Right.
When we live our lives waiting to be liked, when we live our lives waiting to be having that stamp of approval, we're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Big trouble.
Yeah, because you're thinking about what they're thinking about you rather than your own uniqueness.
That's right.
Okay, well, we need to take another break, and we will return with tip number two, which is visibility.
Yes.
And we're with Kay Fittis, author and life coach, and we will be right back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. We're back, and we've been discussing strategies for success. And in this segment, I want to explore visibility with Kay. And this is one of the hardest things to do. Put yourself out there. It's really scary. And I see a lot of people in counseling with, you know, they're a fear-based person.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're not a fear-based person, this is a really hard one. And yet, we know that people have a lot of regrets at the end of their life for not trying things and their dreams and so forth. And so I wonder, Kay, in your experience, and it's been a long time that you've been doing this, what is the number one fear that people have? Why is this visibility thing so hard for us?
It's fascinating, Karen, because here's what I see. There's a multitude of fears that people have, but they are particularly fearful of being in the light. People often feel safe in the shadows, but success lives in the light. Isn't that an interesting thought?
Yes, I think you just might have made that up.
You know, a new quote that will probably go on social media tomorrow.
Well,
but
it is easy to just back up and not
It's
go
safe.
For it. Yeah.
It's safe there. There's no doubt about it. You do risk some things when you move into the light. You may risk criticism. You may risk pushback. You may risk having people say, you don't know what the heck you're talking about, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
And often, too, there's another syndrome that begins to emerge when one becomes more visible, and that's the imposter syndrome. That sense that people are going to think I'm a fraud. Mm-hmm. I don't belong here. I don't know what I'm doing. I have a client, and we're going to call her Sarah, who is in the telecommunications industry. And she actually came to me initially through someone else because she was, I wouldn't even say she was angry. She was mad.
Oh.
And she was mad at herself, and she was mad at other people. And that was about the fact that she had been living in the shadows, doing an HR function for this telecommunications company, and she believed she could do much more. Mm. There was a job posting, and she had all the qualifications except one. That imposter syndrome kicked in. Mm. Who do I think I am? I can't possibly do that. And if I get out there in the light, they'll figure out I don't have that one. Mm. So she didn't go for it. The person that got it didn't have nearly the qualifications she did, but you know what they did have? They had the courage
to get
into the light and say to themselves, I'll figure it out.
Sure.
I will learn on the job. But there is good news to the rest of that story. She ultimately left that company, went on to a different company where she did get in the light. She was very visible, and that's exactly what she did. She learned on the job. She realized that she didn't have to know everything to be successful, and she didn't have to know everything to have other people respect her in her field.
And so you can help someone with that.
Definitely.
They know what they know, but their confidence is low.
Yes.
Then you can bring that to them, show them the steps to take to apply for that position and go for it.
That's true. Are you familiar with the book, The 5 Second Rule?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Mel Robbins. One of the things that I often have clients do is use the 5 Second Rule. There's something they want to do. There's a phone call they want to make. There is someone higher up in their organization that they want to reach out to. Let that 5 Second Rule kick in. Mm-hmm. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go, and you do it, even when you don't feel ready. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe in doing your homework, but you can do your homework for the rest of your life and never take action.
Yeah.
You know, there's that delicate balance between jumping too soon and never, ever jumping.
Okay, here's an example of never jumping.
Okay.
Had someone come to me. And visualizing in high school, sometimes the cheerleaders will hold the paper for the boys to come crashing through.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this gal, this was the vision she had about herself. Like, she was the football player. She'd get right to the paper and stop. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. What can you say to something like that? What would you tell her?
Visualizing what is on the other side may be the key factor. It has to be more powerful than the fear that's on this side of that piece of paper.
Yes.
And everybody has something, but not everybody has one thing that's compelling enough. Sometimes it has to be a multitude of things that will get you to crash through that paper to the other side.
Yeah.
And different people are prompted in different ways. One of the things that I have clients do often is put a picture on their computer monitor or a picture on their desk, something that is compelling to them. If they're not a visual person, they do it in a different way, but it's got to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
So people are going to instead of running from.
All right. Now, I mentioned from your website, and I would suggest anybody to go to that website, and we'll mention it before we leave today, these unique vulnerabilities, one of which, and I think this is a real showstopper for some people, why they won't go forward and they don't have this visibility, whether it's in the job or anything else, is perfectionism.
Oh.
That you speak to that. So, and we talked earlier this week a little bit, and I said, I think I'm the opposite of a perfectionist that, you know, and I would say my friend Barb, she wrote in my car the other day, and she would say the same thing because maybe the slob might be the opposite, but I'm one of those, just good enough, you know, that we have other things to do. So just kind of do it good enough and move on. But then there's people, they get stuck. And they're perfectionists, and that fear immobilizes them. How
absolutely
can you speak to that?
I'm uniquely qualified to speak to that because I learned perfectionism at the foot of the master, my own mother.
Mm.
I have spent a lifetime dealing with my own perfectionism, and this it's interesting when I think about that and what you just said, that good enough has had to become my mantra, because I will work on something forever to get it just right. The book that you referenced earlier today on our show almost never came to fruition because of my own perfectionism. Mm-hmm. I had my own coach in out west, and I was out there meeting with him, and he said, by the time you get off that plane in Cincinnati, Ohio, you must have your table of contents written for that book.
Mm.
I will be checking.
Yeah. Well, you actually did a really good job. I could tell you spent time. I would have flown through this, but this is really a quality book. So.
Well, thank you.
It worked.
But this is comical. When someone reads the book, There is a particular chapter. Now, keep in mind, this was written by a perfectionist, and there is one chapter that instead of it saying manage failure, it says mange, as in a mangy dog.
Oh. Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Good example that none of us are perfect. And right. You know what? In the second printings, I've kept it in.
Just
as a great example of things don't have to be perfect. Yeah. People have been changed by this book, even with mange in
and
it.
I didn't even notice it. So,
see?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
So you know what? You cite also in fear. You talk about reframing fear.
Yes.
And we're talking about being visible and fear being the biggest problem here. That there's a gender disparity.
Oh, you bet.
You know, that boys are told, you know, that's a challenge.
That's right.
And girls.
Stop.
Yes.
Yes. You know, I even think back to my own rearing and even being an adult. I can remember being in a hospital room with my mother, and she was hooked up to every kind of machine imaginable, IVs in and out everywhere. I was walking out of the room. The last words out of her mouth were, "Be careful, Kay. Be careful." Mm-hmm. And that message that life is scary out there. And you better watch out. Stop.
Right.
For a woman in particular, to reframe fear is critical to know that it is not a sign to stop. It is a sign to do your homework, but it doesn't have to be terrifying. You just have to take baby steps in your fear.
Amen. All right. Well, we are going to, believe it or not, have to take another break.
Hey, and that's the way it goes.
So we will take a break and be right back. And you're listening to Kay Fittis, and we are on 55KRC. If you're just joining us, I'm with Kay Fittis. She's my guest, and she is a life coach, author, and master speaker. And in this segment, we're going to talk about communication. And, of course, there are so many dynamics in communication.
Yeah, you can't get much broader than communication.
right. And so, you know, with our voices, our body language, even unspoken intention, you know, your energy, this all plays in. And I had a funny story from when I met you years ago. And this was when I was launching my own workshops, and I was running this by you, and you said, "Oh, wow, everything is really perfect, Karen, except one thing." And I said, "What is that one thing?" And you said, "Money." And I wasn't really surprised because I had just given you all the reasons I felt insecure about my fee. And you said, "Karen, here's the solution." And you pointed your finger right in my face. And you said this very firmly. I know you're a mother. Because
that's right.
You said, "Tell them the price and then shut up." And you said it just like that.
That's
and
right.
I was really stunned because it was really the truth. Because at the time, I was communicating the wrong message.
But just so your listeners know, I don't make a common practice of telling my clients to shut up. However, just like being a parent, sometimes tough love is in order. What we're really talking about here, Karen, when we're talking about success is power communication. Mm. That is a critical key to success. It is important to sound the part. Mm. The sound the part of someone who is successful. Do you communicate in a strong way? Is your communication direct, deliberate, succinct, or is your communication littered with weak words like hedges? A hedge would be something like, "I just wanted to say," or "in my opinion," or "this may not be important, but." Also, add-ons, words that we put at the end of a sentence, like, "okay," you hear that inflection rising at the end, or "don't you think?" When we're looking for consensus, not necessarily collaboration, but consensus. So recently, one of my clients listened for an entire week to her communication. Mm. She wore a rubber band on her left wrist every time she heard herself use a hedge or an add-on or not be succinct. And that was your problem, was not being succinct.
Right.
You just continued to talk when you needed to say your price and shut up. She was apt to say 13 words when 5 would have been sufficient. And by the end of that week, I am telling you, she was practically bloody. But what she found out was her communication was not powerful. Yeah. It was not direct. It was not declarative. It was not succinct. She has definitely morphed her communication. But what she finds is when she is not paying rapt attention, she falls back into those old habits from the past. And that's interesting. Sometimes it's a habit, and sometimes it's intentional because we are trying to soften the blow and not sound strong and powerful.
We're nervous. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I find in my writing, I have changed a lot in a letter. Instead of saying, I think, or I don't do that. I just put the fact.
That's right. This is a technique that can work for any of your listeners. Read your own emails. Mm-hmm. Circle, print it out. Circle how many I's you see. Mm-hmm. Start deleting those I's. Instead of I think or I feel, replace it with the topic, the subject, the issue. You will sound far more powerful in your communication.
Right. And professional.
Absolutely. And it's not just in your profession.
Right.
This is important in personal life as well. Yeah. Let's say you go to the doctor
and
you lead with, this may not be important, but
your
doctor is very apt to discount everything else you say after those words.
You bet. And, you know, I was even going to mention that about your book, that it sounds like we're just talking about business. But this book, as soon as I read it, I bought several more and gave them to a couple friends and my daughters who at the time were younger. And I don't mean younger, like 12, but maybe high school or college. Because this book is so helpful to give you confidence, like you say, to maybe even speak to a doctor. Someone
Certainly.
Or anyone in authority, instead of saying what you said or I think it's better this way, just state the fact and be equal to them. And it really gives you a great way to speak to authority.
Well, you know, I often think it is very similar to Nike's tagline, just do it.
Yeah.
My tagline is just say it.
Right.
Very important.
And that takes a lot of practice. And what I remember someone saying about me in the past that he said, you say you're sorry more than anyone I know. And he wasn't correcting me, but I think he was.
But he was pointing it out for you.
And he said, oh, I think it's endearing because you're so humble. And I thought, well, no, I'm not humble in that way. I was just being ridiculous to apologize for something that really didn't need an apology.
You know, that is a tool and a technique that anyone can use to really listen how often you apologize. And then if it's something that you have actually done, interchange the words, I'm sorry for I apologize. Mm-hmm. I apologize. That's very different than just apologizing for our own existence and our own being.
And that was it.
And
it
that's
was
really
like, sorry,
what's
sorry,
at that
sorry,
base.
Rather than any a real apology.
That's
there
right.
There was none necessary.
And those are two very different things.
Yes.
I've seen women at the grocery store run into a counter with a grocery cart and say, I'm sorry. I mean, seriously, that's how it is so much part and parcel of who we are. If we're going to apologize to the grocery counter, heaven knows we'll apologize for our being.
Right, just being.
Yes.
So in talking about this, too, in communication, is there a difference, again, gender-wise? We're talking about women apologizing and saying, I feel or I, you know, wish instead of stating the fact. Is there a gender difference? Do men do this differently?
It's not to say that men don't use hedges and add-ons, but women have used this in the workplace to be a softer version of themselves. particularly when there were few women in many organizations. Today, it is only working against us. It is not working for us in any way. Mm-hmm. One of the other issues I see, along with how we verbalize things, is how much we are interrupted. Mm. That's an additional one. And I consistently work with my female clients who are in business settings to stop interruptions in their tracks. We have a right to verbalize our facts, our stance, our voice, and it is critical that we get skilled at stopping that kind of behavior.
Now I just interrupted you.
That's quite all right.
Can you give an example of what someone might say in a situation?
Oh, certainly. We are in a business meeting together, Karen. You have just interrupted me, or at least you're attempting to interrupt me, and I say, just a moment, Karen. Mm. Not done, Karen. And I'll probably couple that with some kind of hand gesture, and it's probably not the one you're thinking of, and it's not the one of putting my finger in your face like I did when I told you to shut up, but it is that stop sign look. Sure. Of a hand. Mm-hmm. So you may have to add in the gesture and the "I'm not finished yet," and I do recommend using the person's name. That draws attention to they are the ones that are interrupting, and then just keep on going. Mm. Don't allow that person to derail you. It isn't necessarily easy, but as time goes on, and if you do this over and over and over, those interrupters will get the message, this is not something that you're going to tolerate.
Sure. You know, this is even good in a family setting. Oh. Or your marriage. Just learn to communicate properly and take your stand.
That's right. Stance is critical.
Yeah.
Stance is critical.
Well, all right. We are, believe it or not, almost out of time. How will
that sure did go fast.
I know. How will anybody contact you? Do you have a website?
Sure do. I would love to have your listeners visit highheelsuccess.com. That's highheeled success.com. They can get a free report. They can get a lot of free, wonderful information.
Great. I want to thank you for being here. I know people want success, and so we need to help them win and get there, and you do that, and I really thank you for being here, and I thank all my listeners. We will see you next time on Inspired Conversations.
Right. Go out and be successful.
Amen. Amen.